Recovery Radio, KMP3000. You're listening to the Recovery Radio Podcast on KMP3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I be your host. You can email me at sarcasticbigbug@gmail. You can follow me on Instagram at sarcastic.aa.book. Visit my website, recoveryradiokmp3.com. To get the books, go to sarcasticbigbook.com. And as always, I am so glad you're here with me. I don't know if your day's just getting started or it's just winding down or it's somewhere in the middle, but here we are. You and me. And I am glad for that. I'm grateful I have no desire to drink today, and I do have a piping hot cup of French roast coffee mixed with some Don Francisco's hazelnut. It is delicious, and I do have it in my new mug. I'm going to continue today with just a little mini bonus episode where I'm talking about my journey with God. So, as I was saying yesterday, I had this powerful experience with God. Didn't talk to anybody about it. Didn't know anybody at that point. I did go to a donut shop right from there and preach to people who were out there in the parking lot on an acid trip. I was preaching to them. They had to find God. But I didn't talk to anybody about it because I just didn't have anybody in my life. And it's just a really powerful experience. And I was going to meetings and starting to get more involved in the meetings. I was just on my own. I mean, I just had no help here. I had to figure this out. With God. Nobody was taking me in a meeting. Nobody was checking on me to see how it was. This was just all my own doing, my own drive to get and stay sober, to save my life. The next time I remember thinking about God, I'm sure I did at other times, but the next time I remember thinking about God, I was in a meeting. And, you know, we had the moment of silence for the alcoholic who still suffers before we get up and pray. And I remember closing my eyes and thinking, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Am I supposed to feel something? I don't feel anything. Are you there? Something there? Kind of look, trying to look at it. Close my eyes and try and look. Is there something there? I can't get this guy out of my head right now. This guy who was there too. It was a Wednesday night meeting in Thousand Oaks. And there was a guy there who looked very... He always looked like he was just concentrating so hard. And he would sit kind of... in front of me off to the side, and I can see him. He would just be concentrating so hard. And that's what I was trying to do when I was praying, you know? I was trying to look like he looked. I was trying to be that serious about it or something. I don't know. I was flying blind. Even after that experience that I had, I really had no relationship or understanding of any of it. I didn't have a relationship with God. Something had happened to me, but I don't know. Almost right away, like I was saying, I started to lose faith. And the first time I remember talking to somebody directly about God was with my sponsor. We were at a diner, our first meeting, and I was sharing with him what had happened to me and how I felt about it and what that meeting was like when I stood up and identified myself and the experience I had in the parking lot. And he was talking about this and he was talking about that, and I was just overwhelmed and confused and lost. And I just remember he stopped what he was saying and he broke open the book and he turned it to page 163. Very first thing read to me out of the big book that I remember. He pointed to the first paragraph, flipped the book around, slid it over to me and said, "Read that." And it says, "We know what you're thinking. You're saying to yourself, I'm jittery and alone. I couldn't do that. But you can. You forget that you have just now tapped a source of power much greater than yourself." And because of the experience I had had, my soul knew that that was true. I don't know how else to say it. Because of the experience I had had the other day, my soul knew that that was true. When he read that to me, I felt it in my soul that I had just now tapped a source of power much greater than myself. And then he talked about God a lot. I mean, that was all he was ever talking about. And I frankly didn't understand any of it. It didn't mean anything to me. I was too in my head. I was too filled with self still. I was too loud up there. He'd talk about God and I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. The next thing I remember, and I have shared all these things on here, I think, was I was in that same donut shop that I had been preaching at. There was a pinball machine in there, and I was playing pinball, and this guy from the past came up and stood next to me just fuming and said, "Step outside, I'm going to kill you," because of something I had done to somebody that he was close with. And he had every right to want to kill me, but I didn't know what to do. I just stood there and I thought about God. And I can't stress this enough. I didn't have a specific thought about God. I wasn't like analyzing something that I understood. I just simply thought about God. And I just stood there. Thinking about something that you don't understand. And I just stood there. And I didn't move. Well, he left. And I never saw him again. And a few days later, I'm telling my sponsor about this. And he got so excited when I said I thought about God that he leapt out of his chair and was just jumping around this diner like a psycho, basically on his knees next to me saying, "Oh, you thought about God, you thought about God, you thought about God." And to him, it was a really big deal. I didn't feel anything. And then the next thing I remember was the crazy story with the, I've shared this on here. It's a crazy, crazy story where I was on my way to a meeting, and I was just freaking out because I needed a new tire so I could get a job, because I had a tire that had like all the metal hanging out of it and it was just going to go. And it was a big, rare kind of tire. It was an obnoxious tire for a sports car, and bigger than most tires, wider than most tires. It was all messed up. But I needed a job to be able to afford a tire, but I needed the tire to get a job, and I just couldn't get past this. I was just going around and around and around in my head. I was like freaking out, just freaking out. I was crying on my way to this meeting, just screaming in the car. I need a tire to get the job, and I need a job to get the tire, and this is, you know, this
full sobbing and
two cars that are pulling in right before me.
And one I pull up to the meeting, to the and
one parks to the right. I park in the middle. I get out. I light up a cigarette. The guy on the left gets out and says, "Does anybody need a job?" And the guy on the right gets out and says, "Does anybody need a tire?" The guy on the right pops his trunk and he has that weird, rare tire in his trunk. So then for the next, like, year, I thought that's how God worked. Like, God was just a vending machine, you know? I need this and I need this. Like, hello? Hello, I need $1,000. Where are you? There's no God. I guess there's no God. Then, of course, there's the train story. And it's incredible footnote as well. I was going on a train ride and to make amends when I was about 90-something days sober. And my sponsor had told me, you know, what to say if you met somebody you thought might be in the program. And he said, ask if they're a friend of Bill W. That way you don't offend them if they're not. So I had that rehearsed. On the ride, on the train ride, about, I don't know, a few hours from home, and I really felt like playing the guitar. You know, I'd been away for a while and didn't have my guitar, and I really felt like playing it. I asked if anybody on the train had a guitar, and they said, yeah, the guy in the back has a guitar. The conductor, the way back of the train. So I went all the way to the back of the train, and the conductor's there, is playing guitar, singing to this Spanish girl. And I sit down, wait for him to finish so I can ask him if I could play his guitar. And I sit down, I look at his case, his guitar case, and there's a sticker that says, you know, One Day at a Time, or Live and Let Live, or something. And I said, oh, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say? Are you a friend of Bill W. or a friend of Bill W.? And then I practiced that. And then he stopped. And I said, are you a friend of Bill W.? And his eyes welled up and he just stared at me. And he just grabbed my hand and shook it so hard and didn't say a word and handed me this notebook that was next to him that he had been writing in. And the last thing he had written was, I've been sober for over 2 years now. I haven't been to a meeting for a while and I'm starting to forget where I came from. And my sponsor and I had a conversation when I got back to town. The topic of the meeting was results of turning it over to your higher power, which just lit me up. I just couldn't believe it. I had never heard that topic. So I just threw my hand in the air. I couldn't wait to share this story. I remember having a conversation with my sponsor about how God is going to use you. And he had a napkin. He drew this like line from here to there and there to here, and he was like, if you went over there to happy hour, then you wouldn't have gone over here, and God needed you to go over here. And he said, you never know why you're going anywhere. You think you know why you're going places, but you never know. You think you know, but you never know the real reason why you're going. I will continue this tomorrow, and just a little mini episode about my journey with God, some of it anyways. And I want to thank my unicorn for making this episode possible. I don't know why my life was saved, but I'm going to go try to live a life that was worth saving, and I hope you do the same.